Greetings.
Today's ambitious goal is to try to cover an entire course in music theory, college-level music theory, in 10 minutes. And if you can understand the concepts and follow all the things that I'm saying, then you've got the essence of music theory. Let's begin by describing music as a story. Speaking in an abstract language, it has a setting and it has characters and there's a plot and maybe a plot twist along the way and then a resolution, an ending. This is the essence of tonal music or a popular song or something. So it begins with the setting. We ask what and where and when, especially the where and the when, and we're asking, like, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell, taste, and touch in this setting? So now we know where we are historically and geographically. And musically speaking, the setting then is the pitch, which is measured in hertz or vibrations per second. And that chosen pitch, whatever that might be, it would be the fundamental. And then it has certain tone color to it, which is based on the mix of the overtones of that, as well as the envelope of the attack and decay and sustain and reverb. The environment would also include such things as reverb and echo and ambience or noise and the equalization and the feedback and the resonance of the place where we are. But more essentially for music theory purposes is to talk about that environment as being the tonality. So you had the fundamental pitch, but it doesn't have much of a context yet. So tonality would be the vertical sonority or the context. Major or minor mode is kind of typically how we think of that. And within minor, we learn natural minor and harmonic minor, and even this sort of fairy tale melodic minor that's a mix of the two. There are other modes, and there's also atonal music. But those other modes were the original eight church modes, which are Dorian, Hypodorian, and Phrygian, and Hypophrygian, and Lydian, and Hypo-Lydian. And then there's Mixolydian and Hypomixolydian, which is my favorite word because it's so long. As we added and had 12 and even 14 different church modes, that would be Aeolian and Hypoaeolian and Locrian and Hypolocrian and Ionian and Hypoionian. Well, really, it's Aeolian and Ionian that wound up becoming the major and minor modes. The way that we use the terms of those church modes is more a matter of, if I have a major scale, but I go from the third up to the other third, I really am still in major mode. I'm not actually in Phrygian mode. So we, in tonal music, don't use the church modes very often. Of course, you can tell the story or you can perform the music, but sometimes you need to write it so that somebody else could tell the story for you, or you need to make a movie out of it, or whatever it might be. So we have to find a way to symbolize these words in which we're telling our story. And of course, that's notation of the language of music, the semiotics of musical written text. But there are two kinds of notation. There's traditional notation, conventional notation, which we spend so much of a music theory course learning quarter notes and half notes and dots and time signatures and all that kind of thing. But there's also non-traditional notation, sometimes referred to as Nashville numbers or as talking about pitch classes or scale degrees. And that would be a series of numbers and letters rather than this sort of symbolic notation. In any case, all of that is how we go about telling our story or representing our story so that somebody else could tell it. Now in our story, we move on to the characters themselves. This is the why and the how questions. We're setting it up by introducing this character. Now the character might be a happy-go-lucky, joyful character. It might be a melancholy, slow, but that character has a certain personality. I think that would be represented by melodies. That begins with a little gesture, just a couple of notes, and then that builds into a motif, and you create a theme out of that, a section, a movement, a work. And you can't always tell when you're telling a story whether it's going to be a short story or whether it's a part of a series or, you know, a really long book. Okay, so that's the melody, and maybe there's only one melody, and maybe there are multiple melodies that are working together. You know, we talked about the fundamental pitch and the tonality. When we're talking about the characters, what we are dealing with is the texture. There are ways that various melodies relate to one another. There's heterophony and homophony and polyphony and monophony. There's also the texture of the instrumentation or the orchestration. So your choice of instruments and these tone colors that were part of the environment in which we find ourselves, they work together in some various ways. Well, of course, we talked about the tonality of the vertical sonority. Those begin to move along with the melody, and this is the whole area of harmony. This is one of the biggest areas that we focus on with music theory is the notation of harmony. Within that harmony, that would be the vertical movement of various voices, which has to do with the texture. Harmonically, you can have a progression or you can have a retrogression. Sometimes you have something that's static or, of course, if it's atonal, it could be doing any number of different things. Of course, there's also rhythm. The melody, the harmony, it has to be unfolded through time, and that's a whole topic of study within music theory. These are the temporal elements of the music. As someone has said, time is what keeps everything from happening at once. Of course, there are long, short, accented, unaccented. There are patterns of regular repeating rhythms, and that we know as rhythmic meter, we know as syncopation or the irregularity. So this is our setting and our characters, and then comes the most fun part of the story, which is the plot. It's fine to have a little melody, but it's how those things unfold. Sometimes it's a short story. There's only one scene, and sometimes there are multiple scenes, which we would have as sections. Basically, the action of the story that is happening is the form, simple form or complex form, and it has to do with the use of time. You know, sometimes you're telling a story chronologically, and sometimes you jump from the present to fill in some of the backstory or to project ahead. In any case, that's all use of form, which is how the story is unfolding through time. Now, sometimes that form is broken up into sections, as I say, and sometimes it's through composed, sometimes it's very predictable, but the form, keep this in mind, is defined, at least in classical music, by harmonic tonal areas, by the key in which it's found. And so we have the setting, we have the characters, we have the plot as it's unfolding, and then comes that surprise, that twist. You thought you knew where the story was going. As it turns out, it goes a whole different direction. And then sometimes it goes yet another direction. There's an interruption to the unfolding of the plot. This is where we have variations of the phrases. We have deceptive cadences or a cadential extension or an elision of phrases. We add a coda or a bridge or there's a grand pause. There is some kind of a surprise. Phrases generally unfold with an antecedent and a consequent phrase. The antecedent has a half cadence and the consequent has a terminal cadence, and we kind of set up this sense of expectation. The more complex the music, the more we'll provide a surprise. One of the important ratios that we want to be aware of is the golden mean, which is 61.8 roughly percent of the way through the piece. Something unusual will happen, at least if it's Bach, that's definitely going to be true. And then at last comes the resolution. Of course, there have been several little resolutions of each of these little scenes that have happened along the way. But at some point, there's an ending, which we know is a cadence. There was a half cadence earlier. Now we have a terminal cadence, and we finish with a perfect authentic cadence, or sometimes it's a perfect plagal cadence, and sometimes it's a little less finished. It's imperfect authentic. Or, you know, when we're telling a story, sometimes we finish it with an open ending. Well, there's going to be a sequel to this story. There's going to be, as it turns out, that wasn't the final ending. And sometimes we really have a closed ending. Sometimes we have a comedy or a tragedy. The comedy comes to a happy resolution. Doesn't mean it was funny. It means it was a happy resolution. In a tragedy, there's some fatal flaw in the character, and it ended badly. Well, for most pop music, of course, we end as a comedy. And sometimes there are other forms. So there it is. Traditional notation and non-traditional notation, understanding overtones and the harmonic series and melody and harmony and cadences and rhythm. If you understood every word that I said, you have probably already had a course in college-level music theory, or you've done a lot of study, and you are certainly ready for it now. So the rest of the course stands before you. Now you've got the overview of the essentials. So if you'd like to pursue this more, any of those topics along the way, go to my website, kenreed.org, and take a look at the music theory courses that are there, or find a bunch of this on my YouTube channel, including the Ask a Theorist or Two episodes. Thanks for listening.